Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you for worship this morning. I was thinking about the world at the moment and how much there is going on in the world. There's coronavirus, there's lots of uncertainty over jobs and finances. And this last week we've seen unrest in America. There's always unrest or upset going on somewhere in the world. And yet somehow the sun rises and the sun sets. The seasons come and go and the cycle of life continues. Underpinning it all, thankfully, is the constant presence of God. Many people don't notice. But today we're going to hear the story of one of those times where God's presence was felt. A surprising announcement that Jesus heard at his baptism. As you worship now, may you always be aware of God's presence with you as it was with Jesus. Let's pray that humanity will make a New Year's resolution to notice God's presence yesterday, today and always. Let's worship together.
Dear Lord, as we come before you today, weary, hurting and anxious, we ask that you continue to keep us safe. Lead us through this challenging time as we cling to your word, our source of strength and hope. We ask that you be with every one of us in our different places as we come together to worship you. Thank you for the love that you remind us of every day, the sun appearing through a troubled dark sky, a bright rainbow reminding us that you will never leave us, and the sacrifice and extreme kindness of those who care for others in desperate need. Thank you for that guiding light that you weave with love through your word, lifting us out of our present darkness. Help us always to remember that we are one with you and continually serve you as we encourage others to know the joy of your presence and the redeeming love you offer to everyone who comes to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the book of Acts. In this reading, we hear that Paul has reached the city of Ephesus. It's from chapter 19 and it's verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Amen. And from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. "After me will come one who is more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Amen. May God bless these readings.
Missing the mark. Since early times, baptism has been a significant landmark in the journey of faith. And in the Church of Scotland baptismal service, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan is recalled. And I'm going to read from the Book of Common Order, part of that service. This is a statement which the minister makes. When Jesus was baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him. His baptism was completed through his dying and rising again. Our baptism is the sign of dying to sin and rising to new life in Christ. It is Christ himself who baptizes us. By the Spirit of Pentecost, he makes us members of his body, the Church. And he calls us to share his ministry in the world. By water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own, washes us from sin, and sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each one of us. Though we cannot understand or explain it, we are called to accept that love with the openness and trust of a child. And then the act of baptism progresses and takes place. Now, I think these words are quite difficult to understand, even when they've been explained. Most of us will have been baptized when we were very young and won't remember anything at all about it. And although the promises will have been taken on our behalf by adults, it's up to us as we become more able to honour this promise, which was made in the power of the Spirit at that time. But how do we do that? Donald spoke last week of the transforming power of the love of God, but made the point that there will only be a transformation if we learn and if we change. Two actions, learning and changing. One of the praise items from last week urged us to take up the invitation of heaven to come and see the Saviour. The wish to learn, the willingness to change, and the focus on the life and teachings of Christ, these are our aims and objectives as our faith journey continues. But where do we start? Well, let's look at the words we use when we are talking about faith in God and Christianity, and it would take more than one reflection to do this in a meaningful way and the reading of many centuries of theology. However, I want to highlight one of the words which is used, which in the context of daily living doesn't crop up very often. In other words, in my view, it's not a commonly used word outside the church. And I've just read it in that statement from the baptismal service. And that word is sin. I want to look at the word sin, what it means, because it's one of the central topics of our Bible teaching. We are told that our sins will be forgiven. In the baptismal service, we see that our sins are washed away. What is sin? And how do we stop sinning? And are there people who are not sinful? The Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn puts it well when he says, "The line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being." In other words, we are all a mixture of good and bad, and where we need the help is in developing the good and minimising the bad. The love of God and the teaching of kingdom values, love, peace, faith, honesty, are our goals. And to have a goal and working towards it implies learning and transforming. But exactly how? Let's look at that word sin again. Does that word help us to understand how we get to our goal and what our goal is? Or even where we've gone wrong? Both the Greek and the Hebrew word for sin means missing the mark. And the word has its roots in archery and refers to the archer not having got his arrow to where he wanted to be. The archer has missed the mark. Is that a more helpful word than sin? Let's think about it. A few years ago, there was an interactive game produced which you could play on the TV, and it was called a Wii. It was an absolute godsend when the family came to stay and the weather wasn't good. And many of you will be familiar with it. But for those who aren't, you appeared on the television screen as a caricature of yourself, and you could design yourself and give yourself a name. And other people playing did the same thing. Then there were different games or sport DVDs which you could use, and you could participate and score points. And one of the sports DVDs included archery. Now you would start at a basic level, and using the hand controls with the game, you would aim and fire at the target and score points according to how close you were to the bullseye. Throughout the game, it might register if you were doing something wrong and give you a prompt to keep you on the right track. If you didn't score very well, your caricature or wee person would be on the screen looking forlorn. If you did well, your wee character would be jumping for joy. As time went on, if you got better, the game suggested that you move to a different level. And then it would give you more tricky situations, and you would probably go back to getting low scores again. Now, you might be shooting at a target much further away and having to take into account crosswinds, which would deflect your arrow, or maybe people running around distracting your focus. From getting a very low score at the outset, you could plot your improvement or not as you negotiated more complex situations. But this is a game, and we're talking about real life. The judgment of problems we meet in daily living, the choices which have to be made, and the actions which are needed. But isn't it the same in essence? To miss the mark, you must have a goal or target in your sights. Missing the mark in real life can leave you feeling forlorn, no matter what that target is. And encouragement and prompts give you the energy to try again, determined not to be outdone. In that process of trying again and again, we transform and we grow and we change because we want to try again, because we want to hit that mark or at least get nearer to it. The crosswinds making the game of archery more difficult could, in real life, be the problems which come unexpectedly and knock us off our stride or distract us. The theory is the same. Judgment, choice, and action. But let us come back to the words we use, how we communicate in real life. The use of the word sin for not getting things right for me implies the consequence of punishment, not learning through encouragement. It tells me nothing about the goal and how far my efforts have got me. It gives me either a fail or a pass. Is there any incentive to try again? Not really. Missing the mark makes me want to try again because I can see how far I am away from the goal, and with appropriate prompts and practice, maybe I could achieve what I couldn't before. I might succeed in the long run. God wants us to achieve our goals. He sent his Son to help us and then the Holy Spirit. They say that God loves a trier, and I think the Holy Spirit would endorse that view as we strive to reach the kingdom values. We'll miss the mark many times, but hopefully get nearer and nearer as we learn and transform into the people God would wish us to be.
A prayer for ourselves and for others. This was written by Bridget Cameron of Kilhone. Let us pray. Loving and Heavenly Father, we pray that we and all people may work together so that the resources of the world may be distributed and used for the greatest benefit of all. We pray that the beauty of our country and all creation be appreciated and our countryside left untarnished. May our children grow up happy and healthy through all the changing times we live in. We pray that they may come to know of your continuing love for them. At this time of responsibility and decisions about future relationships with our neighbours in Europe, we pray for our leaders that they lead wisely and listen attentively, knowing peace in their deliberations. We pray for those making difficult decisions due to COVID, as they affect so many livelihoods, family lives, and stressful financial situations. At this time of uncertainty within our church communities, we pray that we are mindful of our neighbours and strangers and are helpful to those who are struggling with loneliness and ill health. Lord, as we long for the lengthening days and also for the end of lockdown, which has been so difficult for so many, as we wait for the brighter days of spring and the earth to begin to live again, we turn to you with confidence in your creation of the changing seasons. Continue to walk with us through these dark days, assuring us of your light, which no darkness can overcome, and of your love, of which we are constantly surrounded. Amen. Let's dedicate ourselves and our money to the work of God, and let's also use this time to say together the Lord's Prayer. May we follow the adventure with you, Lord, with Jesus, through the Spirit. May we follow that adventure as far as it may lead us. May we follow the water. May we follow the word to the places where it is proclaimed and believed. May we follow this moment that stretches beyond us. May we follow the love of the one who gathers us and who sends us. May we follow in the way in the truth and in the grace. May we dedicate ourselves, our time and our talents to doing so. May we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever. Amen.
In the light of your mercy, we offer up our lives, all we are for you. In the power of your Spirit, a living sacrifice, all we are for you. We bring the work of our hands, our dreams and our plans, the fruit of our lips, our talents and gifts, our kindness and care, the knowledge we share, the money we make, all our small steps of faith. In the light of your mercy, we offer up our lives, all we are for you. In the fire of your Spirit, a living sacrifice, all we are for you. We bring our doubts and our fears, our joy and our tears, our failings and flaws, but you see it all, the whole of our lives. We offer through Christ, may our worship be true, bringing glory to you. In the light of your mercy, we offer up our lives, all we are for you. In the fire of your Spirit, a living sacrifice, all we are for you. All we are for you. All we are for you.
As we finish our service, hear and receive this blessing. God is pleased with you. You are beloved. You are cherished. May you go in peace. Go in the knowledge that you are a treasured member of God's family, a companion with Jesus along life's journey, and forever accompanied by the Spirit. In the name of the Three, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and those you love, now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you to Fiona and Ella and Ailey for leading us in our worship today. If you're listening to this before 11 a.m, you might be interested to know that there will be a service of Holy Communion on Zoom. And if you don't already have the Zoom room login details, you should check the details at aksm.org.uk/Zoom. And the Zoom room will also be open at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons for a virtual after church coffee and chat. So we'll maybe see some of you on Zoom, 11 o'clock for Holy Communion, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon for coffee and chat. God bless you all.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace and give you peace. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Shine upon you. May